In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, that we are honoring graduates today, and I thought that the gospel was particularly apt because Jesus says something in there that I felt like I was in his shoes when I was graduating from high school. He said, "Now I go my way, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" I mean, everybody was asking me, "Whither goest thou?" when I was graduating from stuff, and I didn't quite know. I didn't know quite what to say. I love our epistle reading this morning, too, because it's one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture, which is superfluity of naughtiness. I was thrilled to see that epistle reading was coming up this morning. More on that in a minute. And as I mentioned, in a few minutes, we're going to be recognizing and praying for our graduates and young choristers, and we have a fair few of them. So as I was meditating this week on superfluities of naughtiness and the Lord going away and the experience of graduating, and by extension, as I was meditating on my experience of being a student in school an increasing number of years ago, what came into my mind were kind of halcyon highlights, you know, from my time in school. All the memories are sort of glowing in sunlight and springtime and scholastic Gothic architecture and so forth. I remember in those days people telling me, "These are the best years of your life." And I remember believing them, but also being a little depressed about that fact, because of course there were during those years challenges as well as fun times. There were academic challenges, there were a few romantic misadventures, growing pains of various sorts. There was, in short, all the stuff of life, and it was coming at me pretty hard and fast in those first years of life on my own as a quasi-adult. I wondered to myself then whether these were really the best years of my life, and therefore whether this was really as good as life gets. I graduated from Swanee, where I went to college. I graduated on crutches, having severely sprained my ankle and wound up in the emergency room the night before commencement due to a bout of overenthusiastic and premature celebration on a bluff called Morgan Steep at Swanee, where I tripped on a root in the darkness. The college, in a final benevolent act in loco parentis, had prepared a special section roped off in the chapel and reserved for students who had injured themselves celebrating graduation with a little too much gusto. So I was not alone. There were maybe half a dozen of us in the little section for retarded people. Looking back on my commencement from Yale, as well as the overall experience of those 4 years in New Haven, they are fond and tender memories too. But an honest and more thoroughgoing scrutiny of those experiences reveals their mixed character as well. And it's true that in the middle of it all, there were challenges of various sorts, occasional panics, blizzards, disappointments, speeding tickets, fraught relationships of one sort and another, and all the rest of it, including the fact that due to a mix-up in the registrar's office, my first of two commencements from that august institution involved the dean handing me, when I walked up in my cap and gown, a rolled-up newspaper instead of a diploma. Again, the stuff of life. It was all sorted out in the end, and I look back on the grand arc of it all, and I smile very fondly. As John Henry Newman put it 200 years ago in a sermon for this very Sunday, actually, "God's presence is not discerned at the time when it is upon us, but afterwards, when we look back upon what is gone and over. What is dark while it is meeting us reflects the sun of righteousness when it is past." But I do have the occasional nightmare in which it's exam day and I have not attended any lectures all semester and I cannot find the classroom where the exam is being administered and I'm late. And as I hurry across the campus through a crowd of fellow students, I look down and realize that I'm not wearing any trousers. Those nightmares have a kind of Sword of Damocles character to them, like my whole future is being called into question and slipping out of my grasp, even as the disappointing truth about who I really am is being revealed for everybody to see and to laugh at. I know those occasional dreams are relatively common, and like any dream, what they really mean and how they really function psychologically is difficult, if not impossible, to know. But they at least speak to the fact that things that we know in retrospect to have been wonderful experiences seemed at the time of the experiences themselves to be more complicated and ambiguous at best. I suspect that this is one of the reasons that our Lord so frequently exhorts his disciples to watch and to wait, to be patient, to endure, to defer action, to look for an experiential cohesion, even a glory that is yet to be revealed. The gospel today is one such lesson, and it is therefore particularly appropriate as we honor graduates. The Lord gently rebukes the disciples for their sorrow at his imminent departure. Of course, in the context of John's gospel, it has to do with Jesus' impending death, but the church has us reading this with a view towards the mystery of his ascension into heaven, another departure, which we will celebrate a week and a half from today. Both his death and his ascension are instances of a going away, a kind of graduation. And the elision of these two goings away is part of the point. The disciples, in medias res, all mixed up in the flow of the events and the confusion of the moment, do not have the full picture. They're absorbed in what they think will be the implications of the events of the hour as they understand them from their limited perspective. But Jesus says to them, as it were, look, you don't get it. There are chapters yet to be fulfilled, and there's a transcendent and divine consolation coming, precisely in virtue of the trial that is immediately before you, and beyond which you simply cannot see. But I can see it, and your job for the moment is to hold on tight and trust me. That's true for all of us, all the time, not just for students in virtue of their formation or choristers, because life, of course, from the vantage point of eternity, is a school of formation. Moral formation, spiritual formation. We are, as St. Paul put it, growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a fulfillment yet to come. No matter what your present circumstances look like, and they can sometimes look disappointing, even bleak, but there is a dawn coming, a transcendent dawn. And unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and leap as calves out of the stall. Our job always in the present is to watch and to wait with patience, to look for the coming dawn. That's the work of prayer. That's why it's so important for would-be disciples of Jesus to form a habit of daily prayer that is rooted in meditation on God's Word, on the Holy Scriptures. As St. Paul puts it in today's epistle, to put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and to receive with meekness the ingrafting of the Word. That so, as today's collect puts it very beautifully, among the sundry and manifold changes of the world and of your life, your heart may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.